baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners Podcast in a snowy Oklahoma. My name is Brandon Drum, Parker Thune. As always, this is brought to you by Riverwind Casino. Big news in the world of Oklahoma athletics, as obviously Roger Denny, the new athletic director, going to fill the shoes of longtime legend Joe Castiglione, who still has an emeritus title as an athletic director. So he will still be around just without pay, but he'll be helping, obviously, whenever asked to help. And then naturally, there's a big shakeup in the strength and conditioning staff that we broke on OUinsider.com. And then obviously, there's a lot of recruiting talk that we're going to get into as well in this episode. So, but before we do all that, Parker, let's thank our sponsors.
Yeah, folks, Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor. Riverwind Casino has been the metro area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Shout out as well to our friends at Janet King, proud partner of OU Athletics and the greatest team to ever clean, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. So check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janiking.com. That's janiking.com. A word from Prize Picks. The big game is almost here. The final game of the NFL season, the name of which we can't say on the airwaves for reasons I will never fully comprehend. But there's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right and where Brandon will be hedging against his Broncos today. Since the big game is right around the corner, that also means it's your last chance to get into the football action before next season. So close the season outright with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. New feature alert, Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your player gets off to a hot start, you now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. If you're missing your fantasy team, well, you don't have to wait until next year's draft to keep playing fantasy. Prize Picks lets you play fantasy football every week, even in the playoffs. Pick your favorite players and win when they hit their projections every week. No draft required. So join millions of users and sign up for America's number one sports picks app. Download the app today and use code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code OUINSIDER to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. And finally, folks, a word from Mando. Some men mask their BO with sense. Mando men get the job done right. Don't mask it, Mando it. Available in retailers near you or head to shopmando.com. Now, if you're not familiar with Mando whole body deodorant, here's what you need to know. It's safe to use anywhere on your body. It is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. And it comes in a variety of fresh scents like Bourbon Leather, Clover Woods, Mount Fuji, or Pro Sport. All products are also baking soda free and paraben free. You can get it in the solid deodorant stick, the cream tube deodorant, whatever your preference is. Mando has a whole body deodorant for you. So if you want to try America's number one whole body deodorant formula right now, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code when you go to shopmando.com. Use code INSIDER for 20% off site-wide and free shipping. That's S-H-O-P-M-A-N-D-O.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Mando's got you covered with deodorant plus sweat control. Say goodbye to sweat stains and hello to long-lasting freshness.
All right. Look, Roger Denny, Roger Denny from, I believe, Illinois. I know he is from Illinois. University of Illinois. He was in charge of, he was a deputy athletic director at the University of Illinois and chief operating officer for 4 years there. He has a long and distinguished record with, obviously, the football program with the Illini, but this is going to be new. Like we,
well, I mean, it's not that long of a history, if we're being honest. Like he's been the sport administrator for football at Illinois for four years. And that's the only experience he has working in an athletic department. Prior to that, he was practicing law. So still a guy that's relatively new to the college athletics landscape. And you can look at that one of two ways, Brandon. I have no doubt there are those that are going to have apprehensions about a guy that's only been working in collegiate athletics for that long. But you can also make the argument that any and all experience gleaned in collegiate athletics prior to the advent of the NIL era is largely irrelevant to the current day and age. And so Roger Denny has been in college athletics for pretty much as long as the current landscape of college athletics has existed.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I was going with that. The whole deal is he's got a lot of knowledge in acquisitions, mergers, collective bargainings, like law, contracts, private equity. Those are the type of things that you feel like in this landscape of college football, it tracks, it fits. It's where you're wanting to go. And the crazy part is one, he wasn't a name that we really heard up until, 48 hours, 24 hours before he was named the AD, which is nuts. They interviewed, I was told they interviewed double digit people for this job. He was one of the few that got two or three interviews in this whole deal. What stuck out, obviously, his understanding of contracts, his understanding of how to shift if there is a collective bargaining, understanding how to operate in that world the second it goes down, because they were trying to find somebody that had professional collective bargaining understanding. They were trying to find somebody that had contractual understanding of the world of paying players, because that Josie is the GOAT among many things in the world of athletic directing. Some would say he may be the greatest of all time when it comes to what he did at the University of Oklahoma. And that is a largely debated topic. I personally think he is. He's one of the greatest to ever do it, if not the greatest to ever do it. However, this new world, Josie looked me square in the eye and says, like, hey, bro, this ain't me. Like, this isn't what I do. It's not the college world I came up in. And, you know, he understood that. But at the same time, he also positioned, the one thing you got to think about Josie is, even with that being said, Parker, he still put Oklahoma in a dang good position. He learned so fast, but that's the greatness in what he did, is that he was able to adapt and operate. But at the same time, he saw where his deficiency was and said, I need to step back and let somebody else that understands this type of world take control. And that's what they think of Roger Denny. The Randall Stephenson aspect of it, Parker, I thought was interesting. Did you not? Like the fact that they specifically named that he is still sticking around in that role.
Well, no, that was to be expected.
Right. But I mean, I'm saying like that he's still going to have all that power. Is that it? You would think a new athletic director is going to want to come in, and this is what I'm talking about, like come in and have their say, their way, and not have to talk to somebody above them. Does that make sense?
I think there would probably be more of an ego there if it was somebody that had been an athletic director before, but Roger Denny has not. This is going to be his first such gig. And I think that's the major apprehension for many folks with regard to the hire, is he hasn't been an AD before. He's only been a deputy AD. He's been a lawyer. We all expected this to be an out-of-the-box hire, and it certainly is. This is not as conventional a hire as Oklahoma would have probably made if they were replacing Joe Castiglione 5 or 10 years ago, naturally. Yeah. But it's certainly out of the box in a manner that some folks would not have expected.
Mm-hmm. So with the way Oklahoma hired, where do you think this is headed? Do you think it's headed to a collective bargaining at some point? Do you think Oklahoma sees it?
I think we're absolutely headed for collective bargaining at some point. And I think Oklahoma is anticipating that. And I think that's the reason why it's so pivotal to have somebody with Roger Denny's experience leading the athletic department. And also why it's so pivotal to have a guy like Randall Stephenson remaining in the mix. And I think that's why this was such a big part of the announcement and the press release from the University of Oklahoma that Randall Stephenson was still going to be prominently involved and still going to be around in his current role. Is that people want to know that there is going to be stability at the top within the football program, even as the AD role changes hands. And Randall Stephenson has been a hand on the tiller for the football program ever since he joined the program, a little over a year ago, I guess, at this point. But
almost 2 years ago,
Was it before the 2025 or before the 24 season? I thought it was after.
He was, yes, officially, yes. But he was helping in a, kind of a.
Well, and Randall Stephenson's just one of those guys where, you know, you talk to anybody about Randall Stephenson, you'll get a review that's something along the lines of, you know, you have people that think they are the smartest in every room that they step in. Randall Stephenson is actually the smartest in every room he steps in. Like, he's just he's one of those guys that just gets it. He's an ideas guy. He's an execution guy. And his track record speaks to this. As the former CEO of AT&T, he's had heaps and heaps of success in the business world. And that's that type of experience, that type of mindset is going to be a critical component of how Oklahoma navigates whatever lies ahead across college athletics. And I think we would all be lying if we said we have any idea exactly what it's going to look like, because it feels like we hit a new twist. We hit a new turn in the road, new fork in the road every single day. The Darian Mensa case is a great example of this right now. The Charles Bediako case, like, there's a reckoning coming. I'm not sure any of us are prepared for what exactly it's going to look like, but the more people you have in the room, the more people you have in those meetings at the University of Oklahoma that are making preparations for what is certainly going to be a much more professionalized version of collegiate athletics in the years ahead, the better you're going to be prepared for whatever changes may come as a byproduct of that.
Yeah, he's going to be learning on the process. Like, as far as Roger Denny goes, he's going to be learning the process as he goes. He's going to be new, running a whole, like, he went from being the deputy athletic director for 4 years at the University of Illinois to running one of the top 4, 5, 6 biggest brands in all of college football. Just a matter of the snap of the finger, Parker.
Yeah, and here's what I like. Here's what I specifically like about the Roger Denny hire. And look, I'm not here to convince you that it will work. I don't know that it will work. I don't know that Roger Denny is going to be nearly as successful as Joe Castiglione was as AD. He may and he may not be. Time will tell. But you know what I like about the hire is that Roger Denny is a football guy. His background in collegiate athletics, as brief as it may be, relative to some of the other longer tenured candidates that were no doubt on the board for this job, is that he was the sport administrator for the University of Illinois football program over the last 4 seasons. So he's going to be attentive to the needs of the football program. And that's just a very baseline box that I felt this hire had to check is you got to hire a football guy. He doesn't just have to be a football guy, but your next athletic director has to know that football comes first at the University of Oklahoma, which should not be a difficult thing for Roger Denny to grasp if he doesn't already. I would imagine he does.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that if I'm an OU fan that you like about him is that he's a fast tracker, which means in the 4 years that he's been, he's moved and continued to progress in his career very fast in the world of collegiate athletics. So somebody like that has high goals and they have high expectations for themselves, which means they're going to have high expectations for the people that are below them, meaning coaches as well. I don't want to get it the cart before the horse here, Parker, but I'd imagine his first, unfortunately, his first thing is probably going to be not in the football.
Yes.
Not in the football.
First world. Order of business upon taking the job is going to have nothing to do with football.
Yes. It's
going to have everything to do with attempting to revive a dormant and lifeless men's basketball program.
Try to figure out how to get some NIL to sway him from Houston to Oklahoma would be the first thing you do. Just if I'm Roger Denny, that's what I do.
Or heck, see if Brad Underwood wants to come on down from Roger Denny's old employer. Wouldn't mind that either.
Going from Oklahoma State to where was he? Where was he between Oklahoma State and Illinois?
Oh gosh, I don't remember.
He struggled a little bit at Oklahoma State. You think he would want to come back to the state of Oklahoma? I don't know. The other thing that happened this past week, and we broke it over there on OU Insider, is long time strength conditioning coach, long time sports performance director at the University of Oklahoma, Jerry Schmidt. He is no longer there. And James Dobson took his position. I was the crazy thing is like when we first heard the story, we're told like he's still in the offices and he essentially took the Woody Glass position is what we were told, which was director of football operations chief of staff. Yeah. So that's not the title that they gave him. They gave him elite performance liaison. So essentially he's going to be the right-hand man of Brent Venables on top of still making sure the strength and conditioning programs for all at the University of Oklahoma are moving in the right direction. So pretty cool deal. Legend, Jerry Smith's a legend. I mean,
Still be involved.
Yeah, he'll still be involved, but he's a legend. I think that is the underlying thing of this. It's just when you get legends changing their titles and what they do, it becomes news because of what he became. He kind of became what is the word I'm looking for, Parker? Because he was never out and about in the media. He was never out and about talking to people. Doing a bunch of interviews, anything like that. But his lore just kind of grew.
Because all the players talk about him.
Correct.
You know, like you don't have to be in front of a microphone. You don't have to be in the public eye necessarily if you're getting secondhand credit from so many of your players over the years for the athletes that they became under your watch and the contributions that you made toward several championship or near championship runs, I should say, at the University of Oklahoma. He was the head strength coach for the 2000 team, obviously, and he was the head strength coach for three more Oklahoma teams that came one win away from the promised land.
Yep. And now James Dobson, who has a long track record as far as being the lead strength and conditioning coach or, you know, the sports performance director.
That's kind of the opposite of the Roger Denny hire, isn't it? Yes. Like the Roger Denny hire is a bold hire. James Dobson promoting from within.
Pretty
promoting
on the
James
nose, right?
Dobson to Jerry Schmidt's old role is a very safe hire, a very sensible hire. He's been the head strength coach at Nebraska. He's been the head strength coach at Vanderbilt. So he's somebody that is equipped for his role, for his new role, I should say. He's not somebody that's going to be in over his head swimming upstream by the demands of the job. No, he knows what it takes.
And from talking to people, he's loved by the players, like loved. And so that's, that makes a difference. Like when you've got a guy that's coming in to run things and they're changing how they do things and how they operate, like real quick, like it became very evident in talking to people, and it has nothing to do with the change of the guard. I just want to make that clear. Like this change in how OU is operating as far as their strength and conditioning goes in the off season was going to happen, whether it was Jerry Schmidt, James Dobson, whether it was Parker Thune or Brandon Drum running it, like it had to happen.
You don't want me running it.
You don't want me running it either. No. But it had to happen. The way things are done structurally now, and they started this a little bit last year, and that's why you saw less injuries last year than you did prior. And so, but I don't want to blame the injuries on strength and conditioning. I just want to make that clear. But you saw less wear and tear on the players because when you're playing potentially 16, 17 games in a season because of the playoffs, right? You can't operate in a vacuum of we're going to kill them. We're going to make them the toughest, strongest, best conditioned team in the world. You've got to worry about making sure that their bodies last. How long that season could potentially be, particularly at Oklahoma, because your goal is the playoffs. Your goal is a playoff run. So you don't want to tap out 13, 14 games in and be like, okay, their bodies are wearing down. Everybody's getting injured. We don't know what we're going to do. You have to change. So they're doing a lot. They're picking their spots to kill them in parentheses, kill them in parentheses. So air quote, That's how they're operating now. It's not just gung-ho, boom, 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 boom now. It's building up to this, building their bodies up to a certain. Now, they still have to reach their goals, still have to gain weight, gain strength. And you can do all that. You just have to be a lot more strategic in how you operate in doing those type of things when you're not going full bore from day one. And even the videos, Parker, that OU posted where they had all the guys in there working out the first day. Did it not seem a little bit more lax? There wasn't as much yelling. There wasn't as much rah-rah. There wasn't as much like, they're killing the guys, right? They were just putting in the work and getting it done. Very much like I hate to say this, like a very Nick Saban type of operation, a very Cignetti type of operation. Come in, get your work done, man. That's what you're going to do. We're going to put you on this nutrition course. We're going to put you on this weight training course. This is your goals. How you reach those goals is up to you now because you're getting paid. It's not our, like, it's up to you. And that's the grown man aspect of it. Now, I think they treat the younger guys different, the freshmen. They've got to be broken into the culture, but the older guys, you can tell like they're just operating differently, Parker. And we've been told they are. Mm-hmm. Unequivocally different. What do you think the biggest change is going to be as far as just the strength and conditioning moving forward? Like, do you see it? Do you see in how they operate? Because we don't know, because they just started, right? We don't know their plan. Do you think it's going to be more like an NFL where it's very this today type of deal, and then later on it's going to be, okay, now we're going to push you to the brink right here? I'm interested to see how they operate, because I'm used to one way and one way only at Oklahoma and most places. Yeah.
Well, and Dobson has worked under Schmitty for the last 4 years, right? So we'll have to see how much of Schmitty's influence has kind of rubbed off on James Dobson,
yeah,
as opposed to how much of what he was doing and did do over the years at Nebraska and Vanderbilt has kind of molded him into the strength coach that he is today. So old Dobson pre-Schmidt versus new Dobson post 4 years of working under Jerry Schmidt, like how much of a new flavor is there going to be in the way that he runs things? I don't know. I find it hard to believe he's going to push the guys as hard as Schmidt pushed them. Like, I don't know if you'll hear as many stories of guys vomiting in trash cans and spending hours and hours on the Stairmaster. Like, I don't think they're going to push him quite that hard. And some people might like that. Some people might not. Some people might think, no, we got to push these guys. You know, some fans might think, no, I want the Sooners to get pushed harder than anybody in the country. But there are some that will look at what has happened the last couple of years, specifically 2024 with injuries, and they're going to say, especially now that we're in the SEC and just the physical demands of playing in this league week in and week out, no, I would prefer my head strength and conditioning coach to go a little bit easier, especially in the season, on some of these players and to scale back a little bit on the demands that you're placing upon them as far as their workout regimens, and be a little bit more attentive to the maintenance of their bodies.
I was talking to a former Power Four coach that's been several places, not former, but a Power Four coach that's been several places. And they've seen how OU's operated. They've seen how the NFL's operated. They've seen multiple places. They said Georgia, and just there, they didn't coach at Georgia, but they said just going through and seeing during their time, they went through and watched Georgia's strength and conditioning for like 3 or 4 days. And they said that is the hardest strength and conditioning program they've ever seen. Close second was Oklahoma. So like it was interesting to hear that. Mm-hmm. That when I was told that, I was like, that's fascinating actually, because it just, it solidifies everything you've heard about Oklahoma and how they operate. And you know, on the same vein, the same way that Kirby Smart builds his program up is very tough and rugged, and his personality is like that. Like, you're not coming to Georgia. When Kirby Smart says that, you're coming to Georgia, don't care about the money, you're here to work. That confirms that. You're here to work if you're at Georgia. There's no off day at Georgia. And I think that's what's made those two programs successful over the years. I think obviously Oklahoma's had much more of a lull than, but that had to do with injuries more than it did hard work and toughness overall. But the one thing I do wonder is the coaches' stations, because we've heard the lore about those. Mm-hmm. Those things are just killer. Does OU still do coaches' stations? I don't know. I'm going to be interested to see, because it always happens in February, like right after Valentine's Day, they kick it into gear. So that's something we'll have to watch right before they get into spring practices, because that's normally when they kick that thing off. Recruiting. The staff has been out and about. They have gone to see basically all their big targets, Parker. Ben Arbuckle was just down to see, you know, 2027 quarterback offer, Jameson Roberts. You spoke to Jameson Roberts. I spoke to some people around Oklahoma about it. The feel good is feel good, man. Like, they feel good about that situation. What's your pulse on Jameson Roberts from just speaking to him?
I think that one could be over in March when he visits. Oklahoma's just done a tremendous job in that recruitment. And this is a talented kid who's got other big time offers and many other big time schools monitoring him, albeit haven't offered yet. But Oklahoma has been all in on Jameson Roberts for the last 2 months or so. They offered in late November, and it's been full court press, man. Ben Arbuckle was down there this last week. Brent Venables will be down there this coming week, and they would like to lock him in as their quarterback in 2027, because when you look at what Oklahoma has already accumulated in that class, 13 commits to date in the 2027 cycle, the largest class in the nation, things are going to start falling into place even faster, Brandon, once that quarterback officially locks in his pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Know what an effect the quarterback has on the rest of the class in general, and certain other positions specifically. You think about wide receiver, you think about offensive line as well, maybe even tight end. With Jason Witten taking the helm as the Sooners' tight ends coach, Oklahoma's right there in the mix with several of the elite tight end prospects across the country. And so if you can lock down Jameson Roberts here in the next few weeks, that only makes Oklahoma all the more appealing of a destination to many of these other prospects across the class that are actively considering the Sooners. But you know, maybe it takes the addition of a guy like Jameson Roberts to be the face, to be the centerpiece of a class at that position. I think Cooper Hackett overall is your face of the class, but the quarterback within a class carries a certain significance and a certain aura. We know this. That definitely is something that could get the ball rolling even faster with some targets elsewhere on the board and get Oklahoma to a point where maybe you're rolling into official visit season with 20-plus commitments. Mm-hmm. Which would be huge.
Yeah, the other name, obviously, is Seneca Driver, that Oklahoma is making a strong push for, the top tight end in the 2027 class. I think Oklahoma's in a really good spot. I think Notre Dame's going to be a problem there a little bit. I think, obviously, you know, Tennessee, Alabama, you know, I think didn't his dad play for Kentucky, right? Or was his uncle, Tony Driver? I'm trying to think.
I can't recall.
Anyways, be that as it may. Alabama, Michigan, you know, Texas, Penn State, Kentucky, like those are the Notre Dame. Those are the programs that seem to be in play there. I do think Oklahoma is in a really good spot there. I was talking to somebody the other day about it, and essentially they said that they felt like Ben Arbuckle put in a lot of the legwork and that Jason Witten's taking it to another level. Just the fact that they have Jason Witten and what his stature in the world of tight ends means to those kids, because they grew up on Jason Witten, mind you. So that's going to mean something in this. I think Zach Fairs, obviously, I was asked about Titus Hawk by a few people with Oklahoma. I don't know. I think you have to offer baseball with him. I was told that, actually. OU is probably not going to offer the baseball there, from what I'm being told. So that could be something that plays into that recruitment. Trying to think, who else am I missing at tight end here off the top of my head? Kolar, right? Ben Kolar. I think Oklahoma. You know what? You know that one better than I do. I'm going to let you speak on Ben Kolar.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, man. I don't think Oklahoma's going to turn anybody away. It's on their tight end board right now if they want to jump at the opportunity to be a Sooner. So let's say Oklahoma lands Seneca Driver, and let's say they land Zach Fairs from out in Las Vegas. At that point, well, there's not a spot left for a guy like Ben Kolar. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the first domino that falls happens to be. I think that could be Seneca Driver. I think there's a very real world in which Oklahoma lands the number one tight end in the recruiting cycle, like soon.
Yeah. So I do remember, by the way, back on the Driver thing, I just looked it up. Tony Driver was a running back in the 90s. His uncle.
Gotcha.
For Notre Dame. His dad, Randy Driver, played safety for Kentucky. So genetics are there. The Notre Dame aspect's going to be tough, but from what I'm told, there's a decent chance Oklahoma. There's a lot of people that believe Oklahoma's in the lead there. So we'll see how that one operates. You want to know the crazy thing is, a name that I never thought Oklahoma would be in a really, really good spot for, and I'm starting to believe it, George Toya. Not George Toya, George Toya, out of Trophy Club, Texas, Byron Nelson, who will be getting Ben Odom back as their quarterback here in the next week, by the way. Moving back down from Washington. His dad's still the linebacker coach, Brian Odom, at Washington, but Ben's moving back with his mom to finish up his high school. The high school football in the state of Washington is not what they're used to. So, shocker. Just giving the real here. State of Washington football does not compare to the state of Texas and state of Oklahoma, Parker. How shocked are you? Not shocked, I'm sure. no offense to the state of Washington football. It's just there's difference. There is a difference in football in the South and in the Northwest. George Toya rivals 100 defensive tackle. His brother plays for the Dallas Cowboys, and that's why they moved out to DFW. He's from the West Coast originally, so you would think the West Coast teams, and they are UCLA, USC, you know, whatever. All of them are in good standing there. Todd Bates is putting in work. Stacy Ford putting in work. They're getting that thing done. Oklahoma has gone from non-existent to, they could be making a strong push there, Parker. Mm. Could you imagine a defensive line class of Elijah Harmon, George Toya, defensive end, help me out here. Not even defensive end, because I think he's kind of a swing defensive tackle, defensive end in Zane Rowe. Because he's going to grow into, I think, both, kind of like a Jalen Redmond. If you got those three just off the cuff, that's insanity. Who else do they have a defense? Elijah Armour's the only D lineman, right?
No, you have Devin Robertson as well.
Devin Robertson, that's right. Devin Robertson. So you end up with those guys. Who would you get a DN?
Well, you have Crew Jones already committed.
I know, outside of Crew. So. But outside of Crew.
Shoot, man.
I didn't name Crew, did I? Sorry.
You could go a number of different directions there. I would think a guy that's probably... I don't want to make it sound like he's a sure thing to wind up in the class, but I think it's quite likely he winds up in the class. Would be Matthew Nelson's younger brother, Sam, from out in the state of Arkansas. Also keeping an eye on Prince Goldsby up in the KC area.
Yeah.
So those two are two that come to mind pretty immediately.
That would be insane. That would be an insane class. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. That's the crazy part. Like, that class could legitimately happen. And that's the crazy part. If you can somehow figure out a way to add those, because I think they're going to add a quite large defensive line class in 27 because they're going to have to. Because you're starting to lose all the guys that you got in 24 and 23, they're starting to go. You're starting to graduate or go to the NFL. So your days are numbered, and you've got to start building. And that's what Oklahoma wants to do. They want to build through the high school ranks, and they want to retain. And that's how they're starting to operate. And that's why you're starting to see them go after a lot of these guys and get these bigger classes, because they want to build the class from – they don't want to have to go search for 20 portal guys every year. That's not their goal. Their goal, 10, 12, 13 portal guys, fine. That you're probably going to have to do that regardless. But they want to have to build where they just grab guys that you can go, okay, well, we got a lot of youth here. Let's go grab two vets that we can pay quite a bit because we're paying all these younger guys. And let's get them for a year, let those guys develop, and then we'll take the money that we paid all those vets to keep these younger guys, because they're going to play this next year, build up their tape where people are going to want them, and now you can throw money at them to keep them. And then that's how they want to operate. Smart, very smart. That's how a lot of the big programs are operating, Parker, is they're trying to just retain all their high school guys. High school is starting to mean something again, which I think is great, honestly.
As we always say, always cheaper to retain than to replace in the portal. Always.
Yes. Yeah. What position are you watching the closest in 27 right now? Outside of Gus Corzair, because he's visiting here in the next week.
Yeah, I think it's not, and again, not to beat a dead horse here, because I know we just talked about it somewhat extensively, but it's got to be tight end. Like, who's the first guy that jumps on board at that position? Is it Seneca Driver? Is it Ben Kolar? Is it perhaps a Zach Fairs? Because we know Oklahoma's only taken two tight ends, right? So whoever comes first, whoever locks in their spot, well, that creates a crunch for all the other guys. And creates kind of a situation where whoever's ready to jump on board the soonest is probably the guy that gets that second spot. I don't know that Oklahoma's going to hold off any of these guys that are on their board to wait on somebody else. And I will also add this, thought this was interesting. DeMarco Murray paid an in-person visit to Lathan Wizenton.
Yeah.
There at Waco Midway. And so the Sooners have two running back commits in Jackson Stokes and Keldred Benn. It would appear that they are open to taking a third, either that or they're sending a message to Keldred Benn that, hey, if you're going to take other visits, we're going to pursue other options, or at least keep options on the table.
Nail meathead, you just hit on it. From what I'm told, that's kind of they understand that Keldrick Benn is starting to pick up a lot of steam. His family has not been to a lot of places, so they understand he's going to take visits because they've never gone to a lot of places. They've been just kind of stuck in their little area of Texas for the most of his life. So they want him to get out and see some things. But there's also a sense of loyalty there, at least right now. So we'll see where that goes. But OU doesn't want to get caught with their pants down, so they're going to keep pushing for Wizenhunt and other guys. And honestly, Lathan Wizenhunt.
Wizenton.
Wizenton, sorry. Wizenton. Lathan Wizenton. He likes Oklahoma quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He got beat out as far as like the timing of the commits.
Yep.
And so that's where that goes. For me, I'll just say this. I think linebackers, the position that, and naturally, like Cooper Whitten. I asked somebody the other day if they were confident in Cooper Whitten, Oklahoma. They're like, you would think we would be confident, but at the same time, maybe he's tired of playing for his dad. You know, like they were joking, honestly, like tongue in cheek, but the fact that he didn't just outright commit the second his dad went to Oklahoma, which I don't think anybody expected him to, but I think it leaves the door open for other programs. And that's the biggest thing more than anything else. Then obviously Colton McKibben, obviously out of Carlsbad, New Mexico. You have Case Alexander, the four-star out of Washington, Oklahoma. And then after that, it's kind of a crapshoot of who Oklahoma pushes for at that linebacker spot, because I don't know. I really don't know. Like, those are the three names that we keep hearing, right? And I know there, everybody's like, well, what about Colton McComb out of Edmond? I just don't know that Oklahoma's pushing there. I don't.
Yeah. Don't get that.
I don't know. Those are the three I look at. My gut says Cooper Witten and Case Alexander just go ahead and commit here in the next few months, but that's just my gut. I don't know for sure. And until then, it's interesting. And I'll even go one further, Parker. Let's go to cornerback, because that's the position where you're like, okay, what? You only have so many spots.
Mm-hmm.
But Juju Johnson was supposed to commit, didn't, but we think it's going to happen here in the next month or two.
Still feel good about that. Yep.
Yep. Jerry Outhouse seems to be at OU Texas Tech battle right now. Gabe Osborne, I'm going to look everybody square in the eye. That thing, there are other things at work there. It's not the kid. It's not his family. There's other things at work. There's certain, how do I want to word this? Certain things that try to raise his value. Some people don't want him just to get it over with. How about that?
Mm.
I'll just leave it at that. And it's interesting. Obviously, his head coach is an OU guy, graduated from OU, played at OU in Lee Blankenship. But there's other things. Who else at corner? I'm trying to think who else could they
You have two commits in Mikhail McCreary, right, and Mikhail Davis. So,
but you only have so many spots.
Yeah, so I would think the number's probably four, right? Like, can you foresee a world where Oklahoma takes more than four cornerbacks?
I think if the fifth one is Gabe Osborne, yes. They're going to take him no matter what. He is viewed as I've talked to not just people around Norman, but other places. There are a lot of people that believe he's a top corner in high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Texas has him super, super high on their board. Ohio State.
Well, yeah, and that's obviously a guy you're always going to leave the light on for. But my question is more, like, let's say you already have four committed and Gabriel Osborne wants to slide to Norman. Does that push somebody else out of the class?
Potentially, because you have, you know, Dylan McGee, Montre Jackson. Obviously, you got Mikel Davis. You got Trenton Blaylock. Oh my gosh, who's the other one? Who's the other 27 that has a brother committed? Or playing? Or committed. Committed in 20, signed with 26, right?
Oh, you're thinking of Darius Johnson.
Darius Johnson. I mean, they're in a good spot for all those guys. Like, really good spot. They've built up some pretty good equity with the cornerback. You know, it's first come, first serve, unfortunately. So those are the two positions I look at. I think, and I was told this yesterday, if they can get Gus Corzera just to go ahead and pull the trigger, they think that they may have the best offensive line class no matter what when it's all said and done. Because they think Gus Corzera is going to be their center. and they think he's a special center. Size and all, they don't care about it. They think he is special to go along with Caden Penny and Cooper Hackett. This class could end up just being downright unbelievable, Parker. Unbelievable. So, all right, that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider and the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino on this snowy Sunday. It is championship Sunday for the NFL, by the way. So I know there's a lot of people out there going to be watching that. If you're bored at home and you want to go check out a lot of OU content, you can go over to OUinsider.com. You just type that up in your URL, OUinsider.com. Guess what? And you can join right now for $1. $1 gets you through the door, and you can try us out. If you don't like it, it's easy to click the cancel button. Boom. But we hope to see you guys on there. Just type in OUinsider.com. Click that green join now button and give us a try. If you're not subscribed to this YouTube channel, please subscribe. Like, hype this video, thumbs up. Whatever podcasting platform you're on, please give us 5 stars, like, whatever. Make sure that we continue to move up and grow, because that helps us out with our sponsors, helps us continue to bring the free content to you guys that you so deserve. We thank you so much, OU fans, for everything you guys have done to us and for us over the years. And that's why we do this. So that's going to do it for Parker Thune. My name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.